It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The movie 42 tells the Jackie Robinson story from his signing with the organization, the Brooklyn Dodgers, in 1945 to his historic 1947 rookie season when he broke the color barrier in Major League Baseball. The film had a respectable showing at the box office when it debuted in the spring of 2013, but there was at least one historical inaccuracy in the movie, which has caused a fair amount of anguish for the family of former Pirates pitcher Frederick Fritz Ostermueller. Ostermueller faced Robinson during the 1947 season. That much the film's producers got right. But the similarities between what the movie shows and what really happened end there. Here to explain and set the record straight is Richard Pete Peterson, a former English professor at Southern Illinois University who is the author of Growing Up with Clemente and Pops, the Willie Stargell story. Pete Peterson, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. Good to be with you again.
Before we get into exactly who Fritz Ostermueller really was, explain the fictional version of Ostermueller as portrayed by an actor with the curious name of Link Hand in the movie 42.
Well, about midway in the movie, the Dodgers pay their first visit to Pittsburgh, and the film picks up that visit with Fritz Ostermueller portrayed as a young, hard-throwing right-hander facing Jackie Robinson. The catcher gives his signal, and he points the finger toward Robinson, meaning, I want you to throw the ball at him. Ostermueller, the film version of Ostermueller, throws a high fastball, deliberately beans Robinson in the head. And then after that, the Dodgers come out of the dugout, the Pirates come out of the dugout, there's a scuffle on the field, and the Ostermueller character in the film keeps shouting, he doesn't belong here, he doesn't belong here, he doesn't belong here, to the Dodger players.
And essentially, none of that happened.
None of that happened. The pitch actually hit Robinson in the wrist. And he was stunned for a moment. The Dodgers thought that perhaps it had hit him in the head, but it hadn't. He dusted himself off. He trotted down to first base, and the game went on. He stayed in the game. He delivered a base hit. He had a bunt single. He played the rest of the season. As a matter of fact, he wasn't hit in the head that season, and he was never hit in the head in his entire career.
And his being hit on the wrist, as far as we know, was not intentional.
No, as a matter of fact, Robinson was quite adept at getting out of the way of pitches. And the real Ostermueller, and that was my concern, and why I wrote the piece in the Post Gazette, that people know about Jackie Robinson, but they don't know about Fritz Ostermueller. The real Fritz Ostermueller was a 39-year-old left-handed pitcher.
Left-handed.
He was at the end of his career when that happened.
Right, left-handed pitcher. The fact that they couldn't even get straight which arm he was throwing with probably tells you as much as you need to know. What else should we know about the real-life Fritz Ostermueller?
Well, that he had been in the major leagues for 15 seasons, and he was right at the end of his career. He had his own career, and he had his own obstacles, injuries to overcome during that period of time. So he wasn't this fictionalized, raging racist as he is portrayed in the movie. He had a long major league career. That career was winding down when he faced Robinson in 1947. Among his injuries, he had been hit by a line drive in his left elbow. He had had the elbow cap removed. He couldn't throw that hard at that point in his career. He mostly relied on guile. He was a popular teammate. He was beloved by the press. He was a family man. He was called old folks by his teammates and the players. He was also called old rocking chair because he had an unusual windmill delivery because he had to straighten out that elbow before he delivered the ball. So he was hardly this young, right-handed, racist, taunting pitcher that is portrayed in the film. I mean, it's just worlds apart.
So how has the Ostermueller family reacted to this unfair portrayal?
Heartbroken, I'd be the best way to describe it. His daughter, Cheryl Dusserhaus, was just stunned, shocked by what happened. I've talked to friends of Cheryl. One mentioned that she wept during the course of the film. She couldn't believe that they had done that to Fritz Ostermüller. To her credit, she wrote to Major League Baseball asking them to defend her father, to restore her father's reputation. She wrote to the makers of the film asking them for an apology for what they had done to her father. She's had some responses. Sally O'Leary, who is editor of the Black and Gold, the Pittsburgh Alumni Association newsletter, has been wonderful. Matt Carlin, I believe, interviewed her when she first tried to get some support. He interviewed her on KDKA-TV. So there have been some positive responses, but the one thing that really hasn't come through during this period of time is that Fritz Ostermüller was a real human being. He had a family, he had a career, and all those things were simply destroyed by that movie.
As you point out in your Post-Gazette piece earlier this month, when 42 premiered at the start of the 2013 baseball season, critics praised its accuracy. So how did the producers end up getting the Ostermüller part of this story so wrong? And if they got that wrong, are there other things that were wrong in the film as well?
Oh, there are a number of things that are wrong in the film. They turn left-handed batters around, and they bat right-handed in the film. They did some computerized things with ballparks, and initially everyone praised the way they presented Coors Field. But if you look at the film, the scoreboard is there, the Pitts Cathedral Learning is there as Robinson rounds the bases towards the end of the film. But there's a green wall behind the scoreboard, which really wasn't there. It was a red brick wall. So there are a number of inaccuracies. But what happened to Fritz Ostermüller goes beyond inaccuracies. I mean, it just maligns this character. The film is appearing regularly on cable television. So there are people watching that film, young people watching that film, who think that Fritz Ostermüller really was like that. And that's the image that they're going to have of that power pitcher for the rest of their lives.
Has anyone reached out to Cheryl Dusterhaus, Ostermüller's daughter? You said she wrote to the commissioner of baseball. She wrote to the producers of the film. Have they responded to her concerns?
No. She received, I believe, a form letter indicating that the letter had arrived at the commissioner's office, but she's never heard from the commissioner. And it seems to be it would be a wonderful thing for Bud Selig to do, considering that he's about to retire. You know, why not defend this ball player? There's so much said about controversial figures like Pete Rose and Mark McGwire and Barry Bonds. I mean, here's someone who did no harm to baseball. He did no harm to Jackie Robinson. So it would really be nice if baseball rallied behind him at this point. And so far as the makers of the film, they really do need to apologize. They do need to make a public statement to indicate that they made this terrible, terrible mistake. I'll be kind and I'll call it a mistake in portraying him this way in the film.
I mean, would she, in terms of recourse here, would Mr. Ostermüller's daughter have the right or some sort of legal recourse to sue baseball at this point or the producers of the movie?
I'm not a lawyer. I'm not so sure about that. You know, movies say based on a true story, and so that gives them a great deal of leeway. I know that she's not interested in legal recourse. She just loves her father, and she respects his reputation, and she doesn't want this to be a part of his legacy, this horrible, horrible portrait of her father in this film.
Well, and aside from the character assassination taking place here, I mean, shouldn't we as Pittsburghers all be concerned? Because in a sense, this associates Pittsburgh with racism. And you, as you point out in your piece, say that Wendell Smith, the sports editor of the Pittsburgh Courier, actually praised the Pirates for their treatment of Robinson.
He did. One of the reasons why I wanted to use the material from Wendell Smith's coverage of the game was that if anything had happened, if anything happened during that series to Delivery try to injure Robinson, he would have written about it. And indeed, he does describe in an article that he wrote covering the series, he does describe the Ostermüller pitch. He says that it hit him on the wrist, and he mentions that Frank Augustine, who was a very popular pirate at that time, actually spoke to Robinson and told him that the pitch was not deliberate, that Ostermüller didn't mean to hit him, and he told him that he was he was behind him. He was supporting him. And because of that, and because Hank Greenberg had early in the series done a very kind thing to Jackie Robinson, Wendell Smith went on to say that praised the city of Pittsburgh, and he praised the Pirate ballplayers and he did this at a time when Robinson was going through so many difficulties, including that racial taunting in Philadelphia by their manager. Later on in the season, he would be spiked by Enid Slaughter, and if Slaughter would have spiked Robinson's Achilles heel, that would have been the end of Robinson's career.
Richard Pete Peterson has been our guest. He joined us to talk about former Pirates pitcher Fritz Ostermueller, who was unfairly portrayed as a racist in the movie 42. And again, Pete Peterson is the author of Growing Up with Clemente and Pops, the Willie Stargell story. He's also a former English professor at Southern Illinois University. Pete Peterson, thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh today.
My pleasure, Paul, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk about Fritz Ostermueller.
Our pleasure indeed. And thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.